Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A bankrupt Alaska air carrier is seeking help from the federal government to keep its remote market afloat. KMXT reports that Penn Air has requested the U.S. Department of Transportation subsidize flights to St. Paul and St. George Islands in the Pribilofs and the community of McGrath in the Western Interior. The villages are guaranteed service under the Federal Essential Air Service Program. Penn Air filed for bankruptcy protection earlier this month. If the DOT agrees to subsidize the routes, other airlines will be allowed to bid on them. Penn Air spokeswoman Missy Roberts says the company hopes community support will help it win the contract. While that process plays out, service will continue as usual. Customers can still book flights and existing reservations will not be affected. More than 50 Alaska and Virgin America Airlines pilots and flight attendants picketed in front of the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport yesterday. As Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, the employees of the merged companies are seeking better wages and benefits.
Alaska Airlines purchased Virgin America last year and became the fifth largest U.S. carrier. Virgin had been in similar contract negotiations prior to the merger. Pilots from both Virgin and Alaska, along with flight attendants, were picketing to show management that they were united in their demands for new contracts. Captain David Campbell is a pilot and spokesman for the Airline Pilots Association. He says the list of demands the pilots have isn't exhaustive.
Pay, retirement in the form of 401k contributions, and job security.
Campbell says that pilots with Alaska Airlines make about 20-23% less than their peers in other organizations. The company reported profits last year of more than $900 million, but also paid employees $100 million in bonuses in February. Alaska Airlines spokespeople wouldn't comment beyond what was sent out in a press release on Friday. The statement said that the company hopes, quote, for a resolution through arbitration that will result in our pilots receiving a significant wage rate increase while maintaining Alaska Airlines' ability to successfully grow and compete. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Minimal state funding has the University of Alaska prioritizing a billion-dollar list of deferred maintenance projects. KUAC's Robert Hannon reports.
I'm standing in the parking lot behind the Akasofu building on the UAF campus, but the spaces where I stand aren't occupied by cars or trucks. Instead, a line of orange cones defines a rough circle where the asphalt has sunk like a failing souffle. UAF Associate Vice Chancellor for Facility Services Scott Bell says the sinking soil is caused by a thawing thermokarst or ice lens.
Every year we hold back some funds for emergencies such as the thermokarst.
Bell and other University of Alaska facility administrators last week saw roughly $45 million infusion into their deferred maintenance budgets. That sounds like a lot of money, until you consider that the UA system is facing almost $1 billion in delayed repairs and replacements. A billion is $1,000 million, which makes $45 million seem paltry. Bell says in the face of that funding discrepancy, he and his peers weigh heavily on preserving what they have.
Reactive maintenance costs you 3 to 4 times the amount of continuing or preventive maintenance on a piece of equipment.
Bell says his crew works closely with the people who work and live in buildings. But when aging takes its toll on a structure, everything from heat and ventilation to carpets and window casements can fail. Then he and his managers must work with occupants to make judgment calls.
What are the priorities? How do we negotiate both the very obvious ones like maybe carpet or repainting and the behind-the-scenes ones like piping that's wearing out?
Bell remembers better days when lawmakers forward-funded and facility managers knew how much money they'd work with. As it is, he says, he now holds back more money to meet emergencies like sinkholes on campus. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
Overnight low temperatures have dropped down to freezing in some spots around the interior over the past week, including at Denali Park and Eagle. It hasn't come close to freezing yet in Fairbanks, but as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, we're overdue.
National Weather Service climate expert Rick Toman says depending on where you live in the Fairbanks area, your outdoor garden is living on borrowed time.
Places like Goldstream Valley Bottom, right along the creek, along parts of Pile Driver Slough.
Toman says those areas are about a week overdue for the first freeze of the season, based on data collected since 2000 through a network of weather stations around Fairbanks. But he says the data suggest higher elevation areas, such as Chena Ridge, probably won't see freezing temperatures for the next week or so.
You just get up a little bit, and temperatures can be significantly warmer.
Toman says elevation isn't the only reason some areas haven't gotten their first freeze of the season. He says Gilmore Trail, for example, usually has dropped that low by now, but hasn't yet. Nor has the airport, which is located in a relatively low-lying area, but which, according to the 16-year data set, is the last place around Fairbanks that drops to 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Over the last 17 years, the typical freeze date at the airport has been September 15th. That's right in line with what we see in the hills.
Toman reckons there could be local factors at play around the airport, such as more air movement in that cleared area that elevates the temperature. He says the late median date of first freeze there is reflected in records that date back to 1911. He says that data shows this area's growing season is about 10 days longer now than it was a century ago. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.